walking as fast as possible because each one of them has something to offer, quite a bit to offer, and I'm just excited about having our guests with us today. We have, like I said, Deb Jones, Joellen and Bob, and Mary Metzger, and I think the Hoopers and Mary Metzger. Those are three different presidentials that do a lot of prospecting, and so it's exciting to have them on board to help give us some insight into how they close when they're working with different prospects. I'm going to get back on star 5, see if I can get everybody back in the line, and hopefully
Mary Jo, we're back here.
Who's there?
Just Joellen and Bob.
Oh, good. So you came on the other line.
Yes.
Good. Well, then we'll stay on this line because I prefer to stay on this line. And Mary Metzger, if you're out there in the out there on the regular call line, call in on the moderator call line that I gave you on a prior email because that'll allow me to stay on star 5 and get rid of our Star Trek noise in the background today. Okay, so let's kick off. The first person who's going to talk about closing is going to be Deb Jones. And Deb, join us and give us some insight into what you do work with in terms of closing, how you work with prospects, and give us your insight you have. Okay, Deb?
Okay, very good. Hey, I just appreciate you inviting me on the call this
morning. Well, we appreciate having
everybody.
You.
You know, I want to talk and want to really focus this morning on the importance of asking questions. I really believe that too many of us try to convince people to join us. We try and talk them into it. We try and sell them on the idea, and we give them a library full of information instead of asking questions to move them forward. So that's what I really want to focus on this morning. I want to just start out by sharing an example with you to kind of help to see how that relates to your business. If I went into a restaurant and I sat down and the waitress came up to me and said, "Would you like a cup of coffee?" And I told her no. Doesn't matter what the reason is. She doesn't even know I don't like coffee. If I said no, thank you, she would absolutely not go back to the back room and start crying because I told her no. But if that waitress came out to me and said, you know, I really need you to look at this. I really need you to order this cup of coffee. It's really healthy. It's really good for you. I'm trying to sell some cups of coffee this morning. I need a quota. And she tried to talk me into it. And then I told her no. What would she feel like? My guess is she would feel some rejection. And rejection is a hard thing to deal with. So what I want to talk about is the importance of asking questions, just sharing a gift, asking questions, giving people the choice, and moving them forward through questions. I want to give you some examples of questions to ask to help people move forward. Because when we have, sometimes we go, well, Deb, I don't know what to ask. I don't know what questions to use to move people forward. I want to give you some samples. And I'm going to go through these sort of quickly because I just have a few minutes this morning. But if you can just hear how they sound, hear how comfortable they are, they're not pushy, they don't feel like you're forcing anybody to join you, and begin to take one or two away from you and get comfortable with them, then you'll begin to enable people to convince themselves. When I am working with a prospect, the things I would ask them would be things like, you know, do you have some health concerns? Are you open to looking at something that could benefit you? Would you take a little bit of time to look at some information if I loaned it to you? And then I always ask, when would you have a chance to look at the information? You'll probably have some questions. Because most of us fear the follow-up. We don't want to do it. We don't know when to call. What if we call too soon? What if we call too late? What if they ask us questions? You know, we have all this garbage going through our heads, and so we don't make that phone call. So in that initial call, when's a good time to get back with you? When would you have a chance to look at the information? You'll probably have some questions. So that's an easy question to ask to then lead you to make sure you get back on your follow-up call. What are some of the questions you ask somebody after they've looked at the information? The very first thing I ask is, hey, this is Deb. Is this a good time to talk? Do you have just a few minutes? And if you ask for a few minutes, don't take 45 minutes explaining everything you know about glyconutrients because that's not respecting their time. So some of the questions I might ask in that follow-up call would be, did you have a chance to look at the information? Does it make sense for you? Does it make sense why glyconutrients are so critical for the body? What questions do you have? What are you currently doing for your health? So by asking those questions, I'm not trying to talk them into getting on the nutrients. I'm not trying to convince them. What I'm trying to do in that conversation is to get them to think. I want to know what are their needs, what are their concerns, what are their objections, where are they coming from? And I think so many times we get on a phone call, we want to close them, we tell them everything we know, we get off the phone call and we still don't know where these people are coming from. And it's because we've done all the talking and we've not found out anything about them. And if we're going to move them forward and if we're going to, quote, close them, then we need to know what their concerns are and where they're coming from. And we find that out by asking questions. What about questions, follow-up questions, if they seem to be hesitant? These are some of the things I might ask, and you don't have to know them all, but just pick a few. And like Mary Jo said, I have a DVD where I'm going to list all those questions and have them in workbook form, so they're right there in front of you. And that's what I teach my people to do, is have them right in front of you, pick a few, become very comfortable with them, and then use them. So some of the follow-up questions, if they're hesitant, is what you're doing for your work, is what you're doing for your health working? What's the cost to you of being sick or of not being able to go to work? Is where you're at right now where you want to be? What would your life be like if you experienced an improved quality of health? If you don't do anything differently, where do you see yourself in a year or 5 years? Another question, and probably one of my favorite questions to ask somebody is, does it make sense that treating the symptoms is not the answer? Are you committed to moving forward with your health? If I am with a person and I cannot tell where they're coming from, and sometimes we're in a conversation and we can't read them. We don't know where they're coming from. Are they with us? Are they not? What questions do they have? And the question I might ask somebody in that situation would be, excuse me, where are you at with glyconutrients? What's keeping you from moving forward? And another question I love to ask them, what can I do to support you? Because now people feel like you're with them and that you really care about them, and that we are in a relationship business, so that's what we need to let people know, that we're not just trying to clobber them over the head and say, join us, we need you to register with us, but you know, where are you at with glyconutrients? What's keeping you from moving forward? Because I want to hear their objection. I want to know where they're coming from. What about questions if they seem ready to get started? Just ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Are you ready to move forward? Are you willing to make a long-term commitment to your health? Because this isn't a quick fix. Another question might be, are you willing to be patient with the process? Should we go ahead and get you started? Are you ready for me to set up your wholesale account? So those are some various questions that you might ask if they seem ready to go. What about questions to ask your new associate at the time of registration? Are you interested in earning a $100 check every month to help you pay for your nutrients? Who do you know that needs to know about this technology? Who do you know that you care about, who breathes, and who has an immune system and cells? Because that's who will benefit from glyconutrients. So those are some of the questions that I would ask someone to help find out where they come from. It gives you an idea of a few of those questions that will allow you to find out more about them. Mary Jo, do I still have a few minutes left, or I'm not sure how much time
sure.
I have.
Yep, you betcha. You betcha.
I'd like to cover just maybe a few objections, because you want to welcome objections, and I think sometimes we're going, oh, I pray they don't ask me anything. I hope they don't throw something out about networking or cost, because I don't want to do a question. And what I want to share with you guys is objections are a great thing. They're a great thing because it gives you an opportunity to address their concerns. And they're not about you. They're not a form of rejection. They're just saying, tell me more and why I need to move forward with this. So begin to look at objections very differently. And most often the objections that you're getting are the objections that you personally have. So if you're getting the objection of cost, my guess is you're struggling with the cost of the nutrients. And what we want to do is deal with the objections we personally have, because somehow it oozes from us. Somehow they pick up on those kinds of things, and it creates objections for them. So we want to come from confidence, and we want to come with conviction. Let's just address a few of the objections, because I know I don't have a lot of time. But what about the objection of cost or the expense? If somebody says, well, how much is this? Is this expensive? Those kinds of questions. There's a number of things I might say, and I'll just give you a few things to ponder on. One thing I might say is, you know, the good news is, doesn't have to be an issue for you. Cost does not have to be an issue for you. You can get your nutrients paid for. Does earning $100 every month interest you? Would that make a difference for you? So I'm getting people to think, huh, maybe it is possible for me to get on the nutrients. I might say something about, like, do you have any idea what it costs to be sick? Do you know what it costs just to be in the hospital for one day? What about the objection of, is this a pyramid? Is this network marketing? And that's a common one. The first question I ever ask when it comes to that objection is, what does that mean for you? Because what I have found is, the word pyramid means many things to people. For some people, they've heard it in a negative connotation, but they don't have a clue what it means. Some people, that means the person at the top makes the most. Some person, they think of the shape of a pyramid. So what we do is we tend to respond with this quick response to their objection, and we don't even know where they're coming from. So we're not really responding to their objection. We're just kind of defending that it is indeed network marketing. So we've got to find out more. So, again, what I would start out saying is, what does that word mean for you? You know, it's interesting because our government, churches, businesses, hospitals, schools, they're all shaped like a pyramid, all of them. Or if they thought, well, the person at the top makes the most. Actually, the person that shared with this with me makes $400 or $500 a month, and I actually make a lot more than that. With glyconutrients, the person who impacts the most lives is actually the one that earns the most. And they go, oh. You know, so it gives them a perspective through an effective way to respond to them. And the other thing I might say with network marketing is network marketing is the most effective and efficient business model that's available. It allows the average person, like you and I, to afford the nutrients versus just paying retail for them. You know, would you rather pay retail for the nutrients, or would you rather get them at 10% off wholesale? And they're going, oh, I'd rather get them at 10% off wholesale. I said, that's the opportunity this allows you. Another thing I might say to networking or pyramid would be to ask the question, how do you think chiropractors, dentists, naturopaths get a lot of their clients? Well, word of referrals. I said, you know, you're exactly right. That's referrals. That's networking. That's exactly what I do. It's sharing something that you believe in, important enough with people you care about to make a difference. That's what networking's all about. So pretty soon people begin to see a little different perspective. What most of us do when we're trying to close people is convince them. We want to defend our position. Well, networking is a great thing, and we try and convince them. And what I want to encourage you guys on the call this morning is to begin to ask more questions, because through questions, you maintain your posture, you don't get defensive, and you begin to find out where people are coming from. Let me just go through one more, and then I'll end. There's about 10 objections I usually go through, but what about if somebody says, is this selling? My response might be something like, do you feel like I'm selling you? And they're going, well, no. Now, if you can't ask that, if you are trying to sell them, this might not be a question that you want to ask. So you've got to be aware of what you're doing. Step back and ask yourself, am I trying to tell people, am I trying to spew all this information out to people, 45 minutes of everything I know about glyconutrients, or are you asking questions and using the tools? Because those are two, you're going to get different results with those things. again about selling. You could use the one, have you ever recommended a chiropractor or a dentist to someone? Did you feel like you were selling them? You know, do you see yourself as a salesman by helping someone to set up a wholesale account to get the nutrients that the cells of the body need? Is that selling for you? The other thing I might mention, because I'm already asked a few questions, I've already modeled giving them a DVD to look at, so I might say, you know, to me, sales are about convincing people to do things that they don't want to do. You know, if I ask you if you're open to looking at something that could benefit you, does that feel like I'm selling you? Well, no. What if I asked you to take a few minutes to look at a DVD on why glyconutrients are so critical for the body? Does that feel like I'm selling you? Well, no. See, that's what you have the opportunity to do, is share glyconutrients with people that you care about, and you don't have to convince them. What you have to learn to do is show them that you care and learn to ask a few questions. So those, I know I didn't touch on most of the objections, but that gives you an idea of where to go with objections, not to be scared to death, not to avoid picking up the telephone and doing a follow-up call, but go, you know, I welcome objections. I want to hear where people come from. And when you start shifting how you look at those things and come for more confidence and come with more conviction, you're going to have different results. So, Mary Jo, that probably gives most of it.
Thanks, Deb. That's great. And I totally endorse what you say, as a lot of people know. I love, there's a quote out there that says, a man who is convinced against his will is of the same opinion still.
that's
why you have to dig deep. You got to find out what those objections are. Be an objection monger. Just love them. Go after it. Because if you don't solve that problem up front, they're going to be of that objection and that mind frame still, and you'll lose them. They'll become a zero in your downline. So you really want to pursue. Absolutely. Love it. That's terrific. And I love some of the questions you gave out today. I wrote down a bunch of them. We'll put them on the outline. And, of course, your materials are available at Manifest, so we appreciate that. Thanks, Deb. Appreciate you greatly. All right, great. Let's hear another point of view here. Joellen and Bob, why don't you take over and tell us how you close? How you work on people to close? How do you get people to sign up in Manatech?
Well, hi there.
It's all yours, Joe and Joy.
Okay. Just like Debbie was saying, this is a relationship business, and we are in the question business. And like Bob and I, we're a team. And as Debbie said, we encourage everyone to use the tools and the team. And many of you are familiar with the tools and teams, because if you've ever gone to McDonald's, you don't have to fess up that you did. McDonald's has a system, and you walk in the door anywhere in the world, and you're going to hear, good morning, welcome to McDonald's. I don't care if it's the manager of the store or the newest hiree. They have a system, and they ask you questions in a way that lead you to make a decision. And what we do with Manatech and with any kind of network marketing is that we are trying to move people along to make their own decision. And Mary Jo is so right. You cannot convince people, and Debbie said it so profoundly. And here's how we approach people. We use a lot of tools, and we use a system. We've always used a system like the backpack, and now they've quantified it and made it into a package, which makes it a lot easier for people to get their head around. But this is how we do it. We would meet someone. We do a lot of what we call belly-to-belly work. We're up close and personal people. We like that. And when we meet someone that we have a connection with, whether we've made eye contact in the grocery store or we're sitting with a friend having a chat, I always like to lead with, if you found something that might make a difference in your health, if they have a health issue, or if it's someone that I'm interested perhaps in being in the business, I said, you know, I'm working on something. I would love to get your impression. Whichever way I've led with it, the rest of the follow-up is exactly the same. I'll say, I'll tell you what, I have some information here I'd like you to check out. I need to get it back. Do you think you can check it out in the next 2 days? Now, I've led with 2 days because 48 hours from marketing is how long it takes people to keep something in their head that's new. If I wait too long to follow up with them, it'll be out of the top of their mind. And I want to follow up while it's still fresh. So I'll say to people, can you listen to this in the next 2 days? If they can't, I'll say, I'll tell you what, I promise it to someone else. So how about when they're done with it, I'll check and see, but I really would like to get your impression. And usually people say, well, I can listen to it. Great. They take the tools, This is where the team comes in. If I've given out a tool, I call someone on my team and say, hey, I've given out some backpacks and I need to do a follow-up. Are you available? So tonight's Monday. I'm going to follow up Wednesday. Are you available Wednesday night for about an hour? I've got 3 or 4 calls to make, and I'd love to have you on the call with me. And I call around till I find someone who is. When I've handed the backpack to the person, I'll say, which would be better for you, between 7 or 8, so I can arrange to get the backpack back, and I set an appointment. I treat my business like a business, so I try to work by schedule, and I know I have a lot of busy team members. So that's the setup for it. Now comes the time when we call back, and like Debbie, questions are crucial. And I'm blessed that I have someone in my downline named Lisa Bianco, who taught me a wonderful phrase called WHOPEN, W-H-O-P-E-N, and that's open-ended questions, the questions that begin with W and H. Who, what, when, where, why, how. The questions I'm going to ask will have those words at the beginning so that it leads the person to not answer with a yes or no, because I want to draw them out. I want to learn how they think and where they live in their heart and in their head. So now we get on the phone and we do exactly what Debbie said. You ask permission. Hey, and I don't do the call. If I'm giving out the tool, I'll make the call. I have the team member on the line with me. I've let the team member know in advance, remind them who we're calling back. Dial the phone. The person answers, Hey, Bob, this is Joellen. I promised to call. I just wanted to check out and see if you checked out the material. And if they say yes or no. And if they say yes, I'll say, great, is this still a good time to talk? If they say no, I'll say, can you check it out this evening? I need to pick it up tomorrow morning. And if they say no, then I make an appointment to come pick it up, because I've told them I promise it to someone else, and I want to be impeccable in my word and let them know how important it is to me. And as my upline, Terry Petrovic, says, that's posture. And it was hard for me to learn that, to be a loving, dutiful, tough love parent. But I keep my word on that. So I'll take it back if they don't listen, because they've made a choice. They've made an answer. They haven't rejected me, but it's not important for them right now. Doesn't mean it won't be in the future.
The next question you're going to hear Joellen give is absolutely positively a million-dollar question. So I want everyone to write this one down, because this one is worth its weight in gold.
This has served us well for many years. At this point, I'll say, you know, I'm sitting here with my teammate, and I want to introduce you, because we would really like to get your feedback. At this point, if I've given out the tool, I turn the call over to my teammate, and my teammates have all been trained in this procedure. The teammate will talk, because we've learned you can't be a prophet in your hometown, and I have to tell you that it's a powerful tool when you have 3 people on a call. The person that's handed you the CD, you trust that they're not going to hurt you, or you wouldn't have taken the CD. The other person on the call is the out-of-town expert, and you'll probably believe them more than you'll believe me. It is just a human nature thing. So we always use the team. At this point, I, who have given out the CD, are going to put duct tape over my mouth and start taking notes and listening deeply. And I say duct tape because if you interrupt, you ruin the flow of the call unless you're asked a question. So now the teammate is going to ask this pivotal question. And they'll say, hey, Bob, you know, again, thanks for taking time to listen to the material. And I have just one question I'd like to ask you. Bob, of all the stuff you saw on that material, whether it's a DVD, CD, you know, whatever they listen to, what one thing impressed you? And now I have to put duct tape on as the question asker, because most people aren't expecting that question. They're expecting, well, what did you think? And human nature is, well, you know, it was okay, but, you know, it was okay, but I don't know if it's for me and da-da-da. I haven't left them room for that. I asked them what one thing impressed them, because I want them to think about what did catch their attention. I want to start on a positive note. And while they're thinking, we're all quiet. And they may say something, and I've had this happen, say, wow, I really liked his voice. You know, he really sounded passionate and intelligent. I really knew his stuff. And I had to think a minute. I'll say, great, what was it? That's that WHOPEN question. What was it about his voice that caught your attention? What was it about his passion that so caught your attention? I'm asking that. So they'll say maybe something like, you know, when someone is passionate and knowledgeable, you know, they really can catch your heart. I said, what was it about that that caught your heart? Well, when he said that thing about the child with the diabetes. Tell me more about that. How has that affected your life? Or have you known someone that had that, you know? So I'm leading them to tell me more, tell me more. And the reason I'm doing that is, again, I'm trying to see how people process. Because I've given them tools that I like, but I want to see what they really watched, if they watched it, with what attention they watched it, so that I can see the ultimate question that will come after I've drawn them out and drawn them out. And this is the next pivotal question. I'll say, hey, Bob, you know, based on what you saw on the CD and what you told me about point A, B, and C, because I've taken notes too, what would be the next step for you? So what impressed you is the first one, and what would be the next step, or where do you go from here, just like Debbie said. And again, I have to be quiet. There's only three answers that Bob could give me. The first one would be, hunk of junk, don't bother me. That happens very rarely, let me tell you, because if something has impressed him, they don't think it's a hunk of junk, because they've just given me their opinion that it impressed them, and they're not going to turn around and say, but it's a hunk of junk, even though I'm impressed with it. So that doesn't happen very often. One other possible answer is, wow, this is great, I need to buy $1,000, I got to sign up my whole family. That doesn't happen too often either. Most reasonable, intelligent people will say, interesting, but I need more information. And in this relationship business, this is what we're doing. We're using tools and the team to plant seeds, and we're leading people. So at this point, I'd say, you know, based on what you said, Bob, of the material I gave you, that DVD really spoke to you. If you were going to learn more about this, what would you like to watch another DVD? Would you rather read it? Would you rather listen? What's your favorite way to learn something? And he may say at this point, well, I'd really like to check it out on the Internet. Great. When I stop by to pick up the backpack, I'd like to give you some links to check out. And again, I really appreciate your feedback. I like your opinion, your direct, your honesty. I'd like to get your impression of that. Do you think you could check out these websites in the next couple of days? And could my teammate and I follow up with you again and just get your impression? You're really helping us better serve people and know how we can serve you. And this is how we do our process. And at this point, we set the appointment to pick up the CD, and we set the appointment for the follow-up, and we hang up the phone. That's how we lead people along, and we may have to do this two or three times, and at some point I'm going to say, what's the next step for you? And they're going to say, wow, I'd like to get started on the products. What do I do next? And depending on what system you're using, we like the backpack, we will either email them, fax them, or bring them in person the flow chart of questions with the follow-up sheets and say, let me ask you a question, you know. Check this sheet out and tell me where you think you are. And they lead themselves. Now, if they say it's a standard pack, I'll hand them the standard sheet, and I'll say, well, based on what you've said and based on what you've said, this is what's next for you. And at this point, this is where Bob comes in, because he's the pro at this. I ask the questions, and he does the paperwork and the follow-up and makes sure everybody gets what they need. And as a team, it works beautifully together. At this point, if they say, wow, I'm a challenger, and it's going to cost me $7 a day, and as Deb said, there are objections that may come up, I'll say, well, let me ask you, what is your health worth to you? What if you keep continuing on the path you're going? And Bob's favorite expression is, how's that working for you? A wonderful open-end question. How's that working for you? At this point, we are now going to find out whether they value their health enough to make the next step. And again, we're just going to ask the question. You know, now that you know this and you know what it's worth, are you ready to get, you know, are you ready to move forward with this? I bumble here because this is really Bob's domain, and I should probably turn it over to Bob because he's good at this.
Well, what we do basically is what Joe just described. And essentially, just as Debbie said, you're allowing people time and information to convince themselves. They must convince themselves, because if they don't convince themselves, then as Mary Jo said, they're still convinced against your will is not going to work.
Right.
Because next month, next week, they're going to have to reorder. Next month, next week, they're going to want to go to, you're going to want them to go to an event. Next month, next week, you're going to want them to go to a lecture. And all of a sudden, you're stuck selling them again. And very honestly, the markup on this isn't high enough. You can't be doing that selling. It's not worth it. You have to get them to convince themselves. And so we do. And we let them go at whatever speed they want to go. I mean, I literally start most conversations whenever Joe passes it over to me with something very simple. How would you prefer to get your products, wholesale or retail? I wait for the answer. And they're going to usually ask the question, what's the difference? Well, wholesale's cheaper. Retail's money-back guarantee. Which would you prefer? And I start them at that level. I've got hundreds of people from purchasing at retail through to becoming massive business people. But they started because they were most comfortable where they were most comfortable. And we allow them to make the process they make in the time that is appropriate for them. And that is a powerful position to be in, because I don't care how they swallow the products. They swallow retail, they'll convince themselves just as well if they swallow it wholesale. Doesn't matter to me. And I've been in sales long enough to know that I don't like buyer's remorse. So somebody who picks up a $1,000 pack because they were convinced, they usually make a very unpleasant phone call a couple of weeks later. And I will not take that phone call. So they convince themselves. That's kind of my little two cents.
And just a quick aside, in our business, which we've been in for 8 years, our top business people have all been people who started with getting the products in themselves, getting a response either in themselves or someone they loved, and then they have gone on to say, wow, I need to tell everybody about this. So while we lead with the fact you can get it retail or wholesale, we lead with the products, we always have, and along the way we found business builders. But when I first started this, Terry Petrovic said to me, he said, you know, most of the top business builders in this company have 3 or 4 business builders and the rest are product users. And that resonated with me so profoundly that I made my intention, I will find 4 people who want to do this business massively and we'll work with them diligently. And our first business builder, true business builder, under the old comp plan, we were 8 legs wide. Our first business builder is in our 8th leg, 40 people deep. But she's made us spectacularly successful. Our second business builder popped up in our 2nd leg a year after the gal in our 8th leg showed up. So, and she did it not because she was unhealthy, but because she observed her pastor was getting results and said, I'd like to share this with people, and my family's struggling. So I lead with the products, I lead with the questions, and the people find their own path. I don't lead them down any path.
Great. Thanks, Joelle, and thanks, Bob. You guys are terrific. Good insight and great information. You guys are, I'm having so much fun learning myself. But it's great. I really appreciate your commitment. Hey, thanks. And now we have our last presidential who's going to contribute here, and that's Mary Metzger. Mary, you on?
I am.
Hey. Okay, Mary, great. Give us some insight into what you do to work with people and close them.
Okay, well, you know, it's pretty, you know, I have a lot of similarities to what you've already heard this morning, but most of my business is referral business after 10 years in Manatech. And most of it is, or it all is, from people who have seen wonderful results from the product, you know, who have had some kind of disease condition. So they're looking for help with their health. And so I start with the science because they've never heard this science before. And if I started with the products, that they wouldn't understand the products if they didn't understand the science. So I just basically, you know, explain that. And because, and then, you know, they always want more information, and 90% of my business is long distance. So I ask them if they have email. I send them websites that I'd like them to go to and look, and then I explain that I'm going to follow up and call them in a couple of days, and hopefully they've had a chance. And I just go through these steps.
Mary, can you just give us some insight into what websites you specifically might use?
Okay, I use my glyco.com so
uh-huh.
they can see testimonies.
Okay.
I use my Mana pages so that they can see the products, and I use my, I have the medical one where they can go in and see how this it works. It's called hightechmana.com, and that's by Health Tutor, so that they can see medically what's really happening, because I really want them to be totally convinced that these products work, and I want them to see that. So then I also ask them on my follow-up, if they, after they've seen the websites, what other information that they would like, and I ask them how they learn the best, if they would like an article or a CD or...
So you really start them off basically with nothing in the mail first. You kick them off on website research.
I do.
Okay, good.
Because of the expense.
You bet. Got it.
And, you know, they may not be interested after they see the website,
mm-hmm.
but most of them are. And then some people after the websites, they're ready to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of talking with them. I ask them, you know, when I first, you know, call them, I say, you know, your friend Jay Walker has, you know, asked me to call you, and they always say yes, you know, we've been expecting your call. So I ask them to really tell me all about them so that they know that I'm really interested in them. I let them do the talking.
And the way to do that is ask questions, right?
Right.
Like,
but, you know,
we already heard
people,
today, right?
Exactly. But most
yeah.
people will really talk.
Right.
You know, they want to talk. Mm-hmm. You know, the doctor won't talk to them, so they really, you know, pour their hearts out. So, and then, you know, when whatever it is that they're dealing with, I ask them if they would like to do a three-way call with somebody who has seen results with the same condition. And, you know, 90% of the time they do. They want to, you know, do that. So I set that up. So I say, you know, can we do that? And I'll work my best to find somebody. I'll get back to you in a couple of days. And I think most people appreciate that. And also most of my referrals are Christians. You know, I'm a Christian, and so my friends are Christians, and I explain the Christian side of it because I think that that is a big selling point to people who are Christians. They really want to know that the Lord is involved in this company. And then I'm very clear about what I would recommend for them, and, you know, it's pretty much the optimal health, but you know, if they need GI enzymes or GI pro, you know, I explain. They, you know, if they ask how much it is, I said, I'll type it out. I'll show you exactly what this is going to cost you so that there are no surprises, you know, as they get towards closing. And I just baby them along. And I'm very sincere about it. I think it is a relationship business. Once I've sent the website, I don't ever do very much email unless there's something I really think they need to see, but I really am a one-on-one on that phone.
That's great.
It's the only way that, you know, and I think most people say to me, Mary, you know, we know you are really convinced. We can really tell that in your heart. And that's how I come across. And so, you know, I just walk them through. I don't have a great system. I just feel like, you know, each one is different, and everybody needs, you know, individual attention in different ways. Some people, you know, will sign up the first time, and some people, you know, it might take 3 or 4 or 5 phone calls. But, you know, like Debbie said, I'm not opposed to objections. I want them to be totally convinced, and I feel like I can answer their questions, and if I can't, I find it out, because if they're not, you know, if they don't understand, and from the very beginning, they're going to bag on you, you know, real soon. And I, you know, that it's a waste of my time and my money. So that is really, you know, I don't have anything profound other than just being really sincere and walking people through the steps and being really nice and sincere about it,
right.
Giving them what they want.
Right.
And also, I sent that email about this new book. Have you had a chance to read it, Mary Jo?
The new book? Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's a terrific book. You can talk a little bit about that, sure.
Okay, well, it's a new book by Kevin Trudeau called Natural Cures That They Don't Want You to Know About. More people in the past week that I've been talking to have asked me if I've read it. And so I have so once they've read this book, I think that they are so convinced that drugs and the medical traditional way is not the way to go. And I really feel like if we can really push this book, that we will really make a difference in, you know, what's happening with natural products. So if any of you don't have it, I highly recommend that you get it and ask your downlines to read it.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. It's one of those things, because it comes up so often, it's been so popular and publicized, that I think that if you haven't read it, go out and get it and read it. No, it doesn't talk about using glyconutrients per se, but it doesn't matter. It's a generic book that talks about how critical it is we understand the power of natural products in our healing. So, and when they read Kevin Trudeau's book, they get so angry. It's like we've been trying to preach and teach this for years, and somehow we're not coming across as well as Kevin Trudeau's book does. You know, he talks about he bashes the pharmaceuticals. It's just a terrific book. It's a terrific piece to show that there is absolute veracity in healing the body naturally, and that's what supports glyconutrients, right? Great, Mary. No, good. Good. Now, some people have sent me some emails as you were talking, saying, I tried to look up those references that Mary Metzger said. Could you give us again those websites? Because you're real big. This is a huge newness and very different, and we appreciate your insight here on using, first of all, referrals to build your business. I want to talk about that in a minute. But what were the websites again? I think you said hightechmana.com.
That is a website that I own myself.
Uh-huh.
That you can purchase, but it's www.hightechmana.com, and it's by the Health Tutor .inc. And if anybody wanted, you have to purchase the site. But to me, it's really convincing that the products work medically.
And if they wanted to look at the site before they purchase it, they have access to show them what it looks like, so people
can... Oh, sure,
can
go in.
Super.
Uh-huh. And then if they have any, you know, interest, they can email me, and I can tell them how they can buy it. And then the other one's my glyco.com, glycostory.com.
Right, glycostory. Everybody familiar with that?
Right, and then my mana pages.
Mana pages, so those are simple. Okay, great.
Right.
Okay, thank you. That's
You're
great.
Welcome.
And then when you talk about referrals, everybody get that. Building business on referrals is huge, and so many of us fail to do that. And Mary, why don't you just give us some idea of how you get those referrals?
Well, I just really, when I don't ask before the person sees results.
Okay.
I really don't. I think that's way too pushy.
Mm-hmm.
I just, once they start seeing, you know, results, I just ask them. I said, you know, I'm sure you have friends and family who are, you know, have health issues, as everybody does in this, you know. Do you have anybody that, you know, you'd like to share this with? And if you would, you know, I can send you a little bit of information that you can share with them, or we can do a three-way, or, you know, whatever works for you, I'd be happy to help you build, you know, help you get your $100 back. And then I kind of explain the team bonus. I still am a little hesitant to, you know, do it, because I don't want people to think that I'm trying to get them in the business, because my people are, you know, I have a lot of elderly people.
Right. Got it.
Right.
Got it. Good. So that's what you're working with. You find that your consumer base tends to be elderly, so these aren't people trying to do the business, but they will be more than happy to share referrals with you.
Exactly.
There you go. Got it. And we know consumers are like diamonds in the... I mean, that's what your downline's about. Those are the diamonds, and some of us are so excited about always finding business builders, we forget to appreciate what really makes our business grow, which are the consumers. And you got to treat them like diamonds in the rough, because they are. They're invaluable for you to grow your business and grow your GPV, right? Great. Thanks, Mary. I appreciate that. And I'm going to put people back on the call. I'll just give you a little insight, because I'll speak just real specifically about something that I use as a technique when I close people. And my closing technique comes from just pure gut, kind of a fifth sense, sixth sense type thing, that when I'm working with people, I use what's called assumed closing. Now, and probably the other presidentials you heard today do the same thing, but they don't look at it perhaps that same way. When I'm working with somebody, the minute somebody expresses an interest, my brain immediately goes to close. It immediately goes to they're going to get started on the products. So it becomes part of my belief system, and it's so saturated in my belief system that my language, when somebody expresses an interest, if you in your head say, they're going to start on the product, and you place that as you visualize it, you put it in your head. Now you've got all the energy going in that direction. And so so my closing becomes what we call the assumed closing, if somebody is familiar with that concept. That means I'm already assuming they're gonna buy the product. So there isn't in my speech pattern, I don't ever ask, are you ready to get started? Because there's never an issue about whether they're going to get started or not. See, so the whole gist of my questioning is about what their health concerns are and you know, all that. I go in a direction about, you know, and what would make a difference for them with their health concerns, and here's a program that will, you know, support you in making a better choice around your health and direction to potentially get off the drugs that you're not interested in getting rid of. And I come from an assumption perspective. So it's another technique you can use, because when people say they're interested, if you get it in your head and you get it in your mind, they're going to start on the products. It's not a pushy state. You're not like driving them, but it's not a matter of even necessarily asking them if they're ready. It's a more of a position that if they weren't ready, to me, they wouldn't have asked for the information in the first place. They wouldn't have been interested. The minute somebody shows interest in getting materials from you, bango, that tells you right away. But some of you are pushing information on people. So if you're pushing information on people, now you have a little bit of problem trying to do assumed closing, because you're the one forcing them to take the information. So make sure, whatever that information might be, whether it's website referrals or the packs that you give people or whatever, make sure it's their concept, it's their idea to get the information. And that means you're not pushy and overwhelming and a volcano when you hit upon somebody as a new prospect. You really do the pursuit up front. So you're doing more sorting up front with prospects to find out what their true interest is. And once they express an interest around health, well, then, again, I fall into assume close. They have an interest, I assume they're going to close on this. That's my assumption. And it tends to carry forth. The results are overwhelming. They're, you know, instead of worrying about whether they're going to be interested or not, I'm already past that point. Some of you sit there and fret and frown, and that's what causes you not to follow up or not to call them. Well, Mary Jo, in the back of her head, has already got them closed. So why wouldn't I follow up with them? I just don't have them in the system yet, and they're not swallowing the products, and I'm going to sit back and say I'm not going to follow up when that's exactly the result I'm going to achieve. So it's a more dynamic approach to being very optimistic and positive about everybody. Now, does that mean if somebody says no to me, which, you know, honestly, that does happen from time to time, like all of us, that I'm going to be devastated? Absolutely not, because there are people who are just bad decision makers. They're the people that are, they live their life to please other people. So they took materials from me because they just wanted to make Mary Jo happy. Well, they're going to have some of your people like that. And most of the time I can read those people well, so I don't waste my time and energy around them. But a lot of times we can't. And those are the kind of people that you, even though you have an assumed close and you've done your sorting, you still might have a hard time closing them because they were dishonest, in effect, when they took the original pack from you. So anyway, so just another technique that's used out there. It's called assume closing, and of course it comes from the fact that you've done some sorting up front to make sure the person has some real interest in, you know, making a difference in their health. Okay, let me get everybody back on the phone. If you want to ask some of the presidential some questions, to the extent we still, I think Deb Jones had to leave, but I think Joelle and Bob might still be with us. Mary's still with us. Hang on, I'm going to star 5 and get everybody back on the phone. Hello? Do I have everybody on? Hello? We're here. Do I have everybody back on? This is getting tough.
I think we got an editorial comment from the group.
Hello?
Maybe they're all star 6 also.
Are they all star? I don't think so. Hello? Maybe I can't get off of star 5.
They didn't like us, huh?
I know. No question. They all hung up. No.
Maybe we were talking to ourselves.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
Any questions?
I have a question.
Mary Jo, one at a time.
Questions that
you
use. Hello, can you hear us? Yes, we can hear you. Quiet, everybody quiet. Okay. Now, I have one question at a time. Go ahead, Mary Jo.
Mary Jo, yes. Could you please tell us the assumptive close questions that you ask?
The assumptive question.
Well, I don't know.
What do you mean the assumptive question?
Well, you've got an assumptive close, so you're presenting the information, you're following up on the information. And at what point, I'm guessing you say something like, so if you're ready to get started, we can show you the packs or something like that.
No,
I was just curious about what you said.
When I send them information and then I ask them, my first question I always ask, very much like Joelle and Bob, is what did you find that really excited you about the materials you read? I always start with asking because I want to start on a positive note. So that's always my first question. I don't ask what they found wrong with it. I ask what they found that was exciting. And we start talking about the excitement around that. I start building, you know, doing more support around the science for them. And then I start asking them questions about their own health.
Uh-huh.
What are your own personal health concerns? Because I right away go into the mode of I'm here to support them. So they start telling me their health concerns, and I put together a pack that best reflects for them exactly what they need.
So then when do you say, actually say the sign-up close, if you're ready to get started?
I say, here's the product, you know, because I work through the sign-up. Get it. I ask them questions as we're going along. Are you make sure you understand exactly what this is? You know, is there anything that you see that would hold you back? You can ask that question. Is there anything that you see that would hold you back?
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's
okay.
A great one. Is there anything that you see that would hold you back?
I have a question.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
What is the MyGlyco? Is it MyGlyco or is it Glyco.com?
The Glyco, I think the one from Mary Metzger.
Yeah, she said, I don't know if she's saying MyGlyco as in there's website.
No, I said it's www.glyco.com. You can, you know, go in there and see it's Glyco Story website.
The Glyco Story website with, you're familiar with that.
Yes, they've all been consolidated into Glyco.com. You can get into the stories or the business or the science all from one site.
I have a question.
Sure.
What is that Mary mentioned?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Mumu. No, not necessarily. Are you at home?
I can hear. I need people to star six if you're carrying other phone conversations
okay.
on phone. Thank you. What was the question?
Am I compliant?
Hold on.
The name of the book by Kevin.
Oh, are the websites compliant, please?
Mom. I'm not getting a question. Does
anyone
in the audience have a question
compliant.
Before we close?
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
You're going to have to speak up loudly because we have so much static in the background. People
okay.
are not going to start there.
It was mentioned Kevin Trudeau's book.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if anyone heard the 2020 cover story on that book about a month or 6 weeks ago where he had been in and out of prison